How do you know when you have the heart of a servant by how you react when you're treated like one?
Dr. Tony Evans says our mindset about ministry determines whether we react with humility or humiliation.
Servanthood is the attitude and action that seeks the well-being of others in order to serve your God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. As you climb the organizational ladder, you start seeing titles like director, president, chairman, and so on. But the most honored title you can receive as a Christian is servant. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains why.
Selfishness rules today. People want what they want for them. That selfishness shows up in families as mates and siblings battle over their own wills and ways. Many people come to church not for church service, but for church selfish. I guess it's hard not to be that way when we live in a day of celebrityship. Everybody wants their 15 minutes in front of the camera. Everybody wants to be a celebrity. Everybody wants to be on top. It's become downright hard to find servants anymore. Self-glory, self-reliance, self-sufficiency is the order of the day as people pursue power, possessions, prestige, and position. We're driven by self-interest. Question at the bottom line of so much of what we do is, what am I going to get out of this? Now, don't misunderstand me and don't react yet. I am not suggesting that either I nor, more importantly, God is saying there ought not to accrue to you benefits for services rendered. That a good day's work ought not to deserve a good day's pay. I'm not suggesting that. But when it comes to the heart of our Lord, He is looking for people and desirous to have people who have the heart of a servant. Nowhere is this brought out any more poignantly than in the Gospels, where this story is told three times. It's told in Matthew, it's told in Mark, and it's told in Luke. All three give a little different twist that one of the other ones doesn't give. And you actually need all three to get the whole story. Since we're not going to look at all three of the stories, we're going to look at the one in Mark chapter 10. James and John, according to verse 35, two sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." Have your kids ever done that? "We're not going to tell you what we're going to ask. We're just going to ask, but you tell us before we ask that you're going to do it." That's called a setup question. Now, this question at first may seem like an innocent question, because the question, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" And they said, "Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right hand and one on your left." The timing of this question is very interesting, because the verses leading up to it, verses 32 to 34, Jesus is describing how he's getting ready to die. He is describing that he's on his way to Calvary. He says in verse 33, "The Son of Man will be delivered up to the chief priest and scribe, condemned to death. They'll deliver him to the Gentiles, mock him, spit on him, scourge him, kill him, and 3 days later he will rise again." He says, "I'm in for a bad day. It's not going to be pretty what's getting ready to happen to me." And their first question is, "When you come into your kingdom, can we have those two seats? I know you're going to die, that's on you. When you come into your kingdom, can we have these two seats?" You would have thought they would have been concerned about their Lord, concerned about his suffering, concerned about his pain. No, they were concerned about their position. Where are we going to be sitting? And Jesus is talking about he getting ready to die. Don't you hate it when you're telling somebody your problem and they start talking about them? You're telling them how bad things are, how bad things look, and they flip it on you and it's about them. Jesus says, your question comes from ignorance. Verse 38, you do not know what you are asking. It was an uninformed question. They had a sincere question about themselves without an understanding of how God works. And a lot of us make requests of God, because this is like a prayer, they make a request. We make a request of God being ignorant of how God works. And if you're uninformed about how God works, then you're going to pursue something in a way that God does not accept, and then you're going to be ticked off that he's not answering your request. It's amazing how many people want to reach the top without going through the process to get there. They want to use family relationships or political clout, or they want to use money or influence to arrive at a place without going through the process to legitimately receive it. The cup which I drink, Jesus says in verse 39, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized, but to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give. It is for those for whom it has been prepared. It's for those who qualify to receive it. To get position with me, you don't just get it through asking for it. You get it for being prepared for it. To see you rise to a level of significance that has any real meaning to it, there's preparation for that. That just happens. Any career that you pursue, you prepare for that. You go to school, you intern, you get experience. Nobody is going to just make you the head of the company just because you ask. If you're not qualified to do it, you must be prepared. These men have motives that are self-driven. It's about them, even though Jesus is on his way to the cross. This leads Jesus to a profound statement, a transforming statement, and one that if you grasp it, will totally, totally reverse your life. Verse 42, Jesus enters into his pastoral role and calling them to himself, all of them. Come here, boys. Let me explain this to you. You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you, but whosoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. This is one of the most profound things Jesus ever said. He says, greatness in God's eyes is measured by service to others. He said, it's not like they do downtown. He says, it's not like the Gentiles. It's a dog-eat-dog world. That ain't how we do it here. It's not based on clout. It's not based on political influence. He says, among you, the greatest of you shall be your servant. Now, please understand this. Jesus Christ doesn't mean servant is being a nobody, because he says it's the road to greatness. So whatever this thing called servanthood is, it's not a small thing, it's a big thing, since great people go for it. He doesn't condemn them for wanting to be great. He condemns them for being ignorant about how you become great. He says, you become great by service. We serve God by serving others. Verse 44, and whosoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. If you want to be first, and he doesn't condemn you for wanting to be first. He says, but if you want to be first, then you're going to be serving the most. Did you follow that? The one who is going to be top dog has got to be the greater servant. He is servant of you all. If you want to be top dog, sit on this throne, that's okay, but it should be reflected in the scope, level, and depth of your service. What is servanthood then, if this is the road to greatness? Servanthood is the attitude and action that seeks the well-being of others in accordance with the will of God. It is where you seeking for the well-being of somebody else in order to serve your God. Many people want to know, how do you know when you have the heart of a servant? By how you react when you're treated like one. A servant is one who sees the need and who fills the need because they can. That attitude and that action that seeks the well-being of another in the name of God. You should be hunting for opportunities to serve. Why? Because you're after greatness. And that's the only way to get there. I knelt to pray when day was done and prayed, oh Lord, bless everyone. Lift from each heart the pain and let the sick be well again. Then I woke one day and carelessly went on my way. The whole day long, I did not try to wipe a tear from any eye. I did not try to share the load of any brother off the road. I did not even go to see the sick man just next door to me. Yet once again, when day was done, I prayed, oh Lord, bless everyone. But as I prayed, to my ear, there came a voice that whispered clear. Pause, hypocrite, before you pray. Whom have you tried to bless today? God's sweetest blessings always go by hands that serve him here below. And then I hid my face and cried, forgive me, God, for I have lied. Let me live but another day and I will live the way I pray. It's not enough to say bless everyone unless you have been a blessing to someone. And usually every day gives you an opportunity. You won't catch them all, but you shouldn't be missing them all. Because Jesus says in verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He says, gentlemen, follow me. If there's anybody who deserves to be served, it's me.
But Jesus was all about giving service. And Dr. Evans will talk more about the Lord's example when he returns in just a moment. First, I'd like to mention a great new resource that'll keep you focused on finding and fulfilling God's plan for your life. Tony's Called for a Purpose devotional. Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for good. Well, as you journey through these daily doses of inspiration, you'll come to understand how that verse connects who you are, how you're made, and what the Lord wants you to accomplish while you're here on earth. There's nothing like the joy that comes from a sense of divine purpose. That's why we'd like you to have a copy of this brand new book as our gift. All we ask is that you make a contribution, any contribution, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And if you do that right away, we'll include a special bonus, all 7 full-length messages in Tony's current series called Custom Made. But this offer ends on Tuesday, so visit us today at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 before time runs out. I'll repeat our contact information later in the program. And Tony will be back with more of today's lesson right after this.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through anytime you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
John 13, our closing passage. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing his hour had come, it's time to die, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil already having put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking the towel, he girded himself about, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them and the towel with which he was girded. It was a custom in biblical days. You get up in the morning, you take a shower. You get dressed. You put on your sandals. Then you go about your day's activity. When you went to a dinner party that evening, supper, there would be a servant there who would wipe your feet because you're walking on a dusty road with sandals. So they would wipe your feet off and they'd have a basin there. It was the job of a slave to do that. It was a nobody's job. It says Jesus, his hour had come, he's getting ready to die in a few hours, comes with his disciples for supper, but nobody has taken the servant's role and there is no servant there. So the Son of the Living God, who's getting ready to die in a few hours, took off his outer cloak, picked up the towel, and wiped his disciples' feet. Now, he didn't lose his position. He's still Lord. He didn't give up his role. Because when you know who you are, then that doesn't mean anything. So he kept his role, but he picked up a towel and wiped his disciples' feet. Peter, verse 6, he came to Simon Peter and said, Lord, do you wash my feet? What are you doing? You washing my feet? Jesus said, well, what I do to you, you do not realize now, but you'll understand later. Peter said, well, never shall you wash my feet. I can't let you do that. Don't you know who you are? You're the man. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. If I can't serve you, then that's because you don't belong to me. Simon Peter had said, Lord, did not my feet only wash my hands and my head? And give me a bath, shower me. Hey. Come on, yeah, do it all, because I want to belong to you. Jesus says that I'm going to keep you in fellowship with me, because every day you confess your sins, I'm going to wash your feet so you can keep walking with me. Every day you come to me, guess what? I'm not going to hold against you what you did against me. I'm going to wash your feet. Verse 21, when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in the spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say unto you, that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know which one he was speaking of. They were reclining on Jesus' breast, the one who was reclining on Jesus' breast, John, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore gestured to him and said, tell us who it is who you are speaking of. He leaned back thus on Jesus' breast and said to him, Lord, is it I? Jesus answered, this is the one to whom I will dip the morsel and give it to him. Now watch this. He says, there is one who's going to betray me. You want to know which one it is? I'll tell you which one it is, not by naming him, but by feeding him. Jesus says, you'll know the one. It is the one to whom I give the morsel. Now, let me tell you about the morsel. The morsel was the fajita of the day. You see, we told in verse 1, it was at the time of Passover. And what they would do is take bread, take a piece of lamb from the slain lamb, and wrap it up like you would do a fajita. Then they would dip it in this bitter sauce, and then they would eat it. It was the fajita of the day. And what Jesus says is, to the one who will betray me, I will now take some lamb that was slain, wrap it up, and I'm going to serve you even though I know you're going to do me in. He knows that Judas is going to do him in, and he's still serving him. Why? Because he's on his way to greatness. Everybody in the Bible who became great, God had to use him as a servant first. Moses had to learn how to lead sheep before he was given the position of leading the children of Israel. Joseph had to learn to serve in Potiphar's house before he could be given the position of second over Egypt. Daniel had to learn to serve before he was promoted the head in Babylon over and over and over again. Ruth said, Naomi, I'ma serve you for the rest of my life, before she got the privilege of being in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Peter had to learn to serve with the disciples before he became head of the church. Everybody who ever became great was great because they learned to serve. John Wesley said it this way: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. Jesus is not looking for fans. He's looking for servants. The measure of a man is not how many serve him, but how many men he serves. Perhaps some of you saw the movie with Jackie Chan called The Tuxedo. Jackie Chan is a taxicab driver. His job is to serve his customers. He winds up becoming the driver for Clark Devlin. Clark Devlin is a top secret agent. Their car comes under attack, and Clark Devlin, the top secret agent who Jackie Chan is chauffeuring, becomes critically wounded in the attack. Clark Devlin tells Jackie Chan about the tuxedo. He says, when you wear this tuxedo, you will experience things that are beyond your wildest dreams. Jackie Chan put on Clark Devlin's tuxedo, and he found powers to walk on walls and to do all kind of flips and twists and to overcome the enemies who would seek to bring destruction because he wore the clothing of another. When you and I put on Jesus Christ, when we wear his character and his glory, then we share in his greatness. Don't tell me you want to be great, but you're not willing to put on his jacket. And his jacket is always the jacket of servanthood. And if you really want to be somebody in time and in eternity, raise the question, am I serving more toward others than others are serving toward me? And if not, please know you're devolving in greatness.
If you're ready to set your sights high enough to become a servant, it all starts by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Tony will be glad to explain exactly how that can happen for you today. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the menu at the top, and follow the link that says Jesus. He has a video there that explains what it means to be a real Christian. And once you make that decision, there are some free resources to get you started off right. Check it out today at TonyEvans.org. Also, if you'd like a copy of today's message, it's called The Greatness of Servanthood, and it's available by itself or as a part of Tony's current 7-part series called Custom Made. As I mentioned, when you support The Alternative with any contribution God leads you to make, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift, along with the book I mentioned earlier, The Called for a Purpose Devotional. As always, the details are waiting for you online at TonyEvans.org, where you can browse through our huge library of resources and learn about special events like Without Walls. Tickets are still available for this exciting evening that features Tony's preaching and worship with his son Anthony. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. You can also reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open around the clock for your convenience. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, in order to act like a servant, you have to think like a servant. So on Monday, Dr. Evans will talk about the attitudes and ideals that can keep you focused on fulfilling your God-given purpose. I hope you'll be with us.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.